going to preach the same message twice, so that's not too hard, right? One in English, one in Spanish, but same message, so it'll be fine, it'll be fine. How are you this morning? Good. Just want to take a moment and say thank you for the opportunity and to share God's word with you guys. It's a great privilege, but it's also feel a great responsibility, because if I say something that you don't like, then you'll tell Chris, and Chris goes... So I just want to be responsible to what I say. But my prayer today is that God would speak to us today. And God will speak to us today with an accent, different accent. But more than us receiving information, my prayer is that we receive transformation today. That we leave this building different than how we came in. And that we desire to be more like Jesus. Anybody here desires to be more like Jesus? I desire to be more like Jesus. That's my prayer every day. And it's not easy, but that's my prayer today. So let's go to the scripture. It's going to be in Luke 19. We're going to read from verse 37 to 41. And we know that the passage is a little bit larger than that, but because of time, we have another church after this one. I don't know whose idea that was, but so because of time, we're going to focus on those verses today. So Luke 19, 37 to 41 says, "When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' 'I tell you,' he replied, 'if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out.' As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, 'If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring your peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes.'" Let us pray. Lord, thank you one more time for your presence. We can feel your presence this morning. Thank you for what you're doing in our lives, and thank you for what you're doing in our congregations. Thank you for what you're doing at the branch. Thank you, Lord, that you are with us. And Father, your word says that your word never comes back empty. And this morning, we ask that through the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would speak to us in a powerful way, in a real way, Lord, that your word may bring fruit in our lives. So open our eyes, open our hearts, open our ears, and open our spirits to hear from you, Lord, this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I know that this happens in every country, and this happens in every city, but most Latinos, Hispanic people, like football. The real one. The one that you use your feet to hit the ball, right? So not American football. We like soccer, right? Most Latinos like soccer, I'm from Mexico, and especially in Mexico, there's this passion about soccer that it's unbelievable. We root for the Selección Mexicana, La Selección Mexicana, which is the national team. And let me tell you something. They're horrible. I mean, they are horrible. They never win. They never win. They lose all the time. And when the World Cup comes around every 4 years, right, we pray that we get the worst countries to play against, right? Lord, please don't have us play against Germany or Italy or any of those. Please, Lord, give us some ugly countries there to play against, even though we get sometimes the worst countries. We never passed through second round. Once in a while, we win. Once in a while, we win. And when they do, when the Selección Mexicana wins, OMG. We make a lot of celebrations all over Mexico, and the Mexican people who live here in the United States, we cheer and celebrate, and we're so happy. When they lose, which is very often, we say horrible things about the coach, about the team, about everybody who is involved. And when I say horrible things, I mean horrible things. We say very horrible things. But once again, when they win something, they come back to Mexico. There's people waiting for them at the airport and cheering with signs saying, "You are the best. You are wonderful. We love you so much." Things like that. You know, it's a whole celebration. And I know this happens everywhere, right? It happens, well, not here in Grand Rapids because we don't have any good teams either. But it happens like in Michigan. It happens all over the world. And the reason why I'm saying this is, well, we know that Jesus was not in a soccer team, right? He was not part of the soccer team. At least it's not in the Bible. If you find it in the Bible, let me know and I can preach it. But Jesus was not on a soccer team or any sports. But Jesus, so far, has done great miracles. Jesus fed the 5,000. Jesus fed the 4,000. Jesus had opened the eyes of the blind. Jesus had healed people with leprosy. And Jesus has been talking about establishing a kingdom of peace on earth. Jesus has been speaking about establishing a kingdom that will change everything that was happening around them. He was talking about being sent by the Father. And the people that are hearing the message, they're very excited. The people who are listening to what Jesus has to say, they're very excited. They're excited because finally, the Messiah that they've been waiting for all of these years, finally, he was going to come. And he was going to bring an end to the oppression that they have been under for the longest time. People, up to this point, are ready for a new king. They want and they need a new king. And they're ready for Jesus to take office. They're ready for Jesus to bring the peace. They're ready to come under the shadows and finally be the people that God, the nation that God has called them to be. So when they see Jesus that is coming, they're happy. They're celebrating. They're cheering. They're saying very good things. They're even quoting scripture. And you know that when we start quoting scripture, things are getting real, right? Things are about to get real when we start quoting scripture. And they shouted, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Things just got real. When the people, when the religious people, the Pharisees of the time, they heard the people cheering and praising and saying good things about Jesus, they get mad. They get so upset. And they tell Jesus, "Jesus, please tell your disciples to be quiet. Tell them not to say the things that they are saying." And this is the first time that in our story, the part of the scripture that we read is the first time when Jesus speaks. And the thing that Jesus says is very interesting. The thing that Jesus says is, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. The story of the triumphal entrance of Jesus into Jerusalem talks to us about many things. But here in particular, we have two groups of people who have totally misunderstood, that totally misunderstood who Jesus was and what his kingdom was all about. On one end, we have the people who thought that Jesus' kingdom was of this earth. And as with other processions in the past, they were expecting Jesus to take office. They were expecting Jesus to wear a crown. They were expecting Jesus to defeat the Roman Empire. They were expecting Jesus to finally bring peace, and bring peace in a way that it was an earthly way, kind of way. And when we pay close attention to the story of what we were reading right here, it's a story that is full of contrast. It's a story that is full of things that are very different to what the culture and what the people were expecting. When we see processions in the past, the same road that Jesus was taking was the same road that Alexander the Great, years before, had taken to go into Jerusalem. And different than any other people who take processions going into Jerusalem, we have the leaders coming in with chariots and horses, and we see here Jesus coming in a colt, showing his humility, showing his love for the people. When we see leaders coming into the city, we look leaders trying to get the approval of the masses. And when we see Jesus here, we are seeing a Jesus that is only looking to fulfill the God the Father had put upon his life. When we see processions in the past, we see leaders wearing crowns or expecting to wear crowns to be king. And when we see Jesus here, we see Jesus that he will later wear a crown, but it would be a very different crown. It would be a crown of thorns. Not only do we have this kind of people, the people that have misunderstood what Jesus was all about, but we have the people who got offended, the Pharisees, the religious people of the time, when they heard people praising Jesus, even for the wrong reasons, they are offended. They get offended to the notion that Jesus may be the solution of the things that are happening, of the many problems that are happening in their society. They are so offended that they tell him, please, Jesus, tell him to be quiet. And when we look at the story and we compare it to our reality today, in 2017, we find out that it's a very similar situation in which we live in. In the culture around us, there are so many misconceptions of who Jesus is. There are so many misconceptions of what the kingdom of Jesus, what the kingdom of God should look like, and what he's supposed to do in our midst. In one hand, we expect Jesus to do certain things, right? We expect Jesus to act in a certain way, especially in the times that we're living today. Especially in the times that we are experiencing today. We want Jesus to show up. I want Jesus to show up. I expect Jesus to show up and do what we think that he should do. But the problem that we have many times is that we expect Jesus to act in the way that we want him to act. And we bring Jesus down to our level. And we expect justice, we expect the justice of Jesus to be to the standard of our justice. We expect Jesus to move in a way that we can understand. We expect Jesus to move in a way that we can grasp and that we can articulate. And if we are honest with ourselves, if we are honest and we look deep into ourselves, many times we feel disappointed at Jesus. Sometimes we feel that he's not doing what he's supposed to be doing. When I look at things like the things that are happening in Syria, I'm pretty sure you guys have seen the videos of kids dying because of a chemical attack. When we see the division and that this nation is going through with races, and when we see many things that are going on, families being destroyed, we expect Jesus to act. And sometimes we feel disappointed. And we ask ourselves, why Jesus? Why is this happening? I don't know if you have asked that question lately, but I have. And I have to be honest with myself. And I have to look into myself and my relationship with Jesus. And say, God, why is this happening? Why is this happening around the world? If we're honest with ourselves, we have questions and we have struggles. And we struggle to understand what is the purpose in the midst of everything that is happening. What is the purpose? We don't understand. If we're honest with ourselves, many times we praise God because we want Him to do things. And we don't praise God for who He is and for what He already has done. We want His kingdom to be established, but we want it to be established in a way that we understand it and that we grasp it. And for a moment, we forget that He's the one who holds the world in His hands. We forget that He has bigger plans. There are His plans. And the Bible says that His thoughts are better than our thoughts. That His plans are better than our plans. And that He has good plans for our lives. For a moment, we forget that He's the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. And we forget that one day, the Bible says, that His glory will fill this earth. In this society that we live in, we have those who are great opponents of Jesus. People who get offended at us mentioning Jesus. People who says, how can you worship a God that is so cruel? How can you worship a God that is so unfair? How can you worship a God that allows these things to happen? How can you believe in that Jesus? And the truth of the matter is, that if we don't praise God, if we don't praise Jesus, if we don't cry out to Him, if we don't bring our sorrows, if we don't bring everything that is within us, the Bible says, and Jesus said it, that if we don't do it, the rocks will do it. Somebody else will do it. If we don't take the place that God is calling us to take, somebody else will do it. And I don't want anybody else to take the place that God is calling me to take. And I hope and I pray that you don't want anybody else to take the place that God has for you. The plan that God has for your life, for your family, for your kids, for your marriage, where you work, that you would be able to fulfill God's calling upon your life. And at this point of the story, Jesus knows what's about to come for Jerusalem. Jesus knows what's about to happen to Him. Jesus knows what's about to happen for His people. And the Bible mentions something very interesting. And it is that when He sees the city, when He sees over the city, when He sees Jerusalem, the Bible says that He wept over Jerusalem. He wept over the city. And He said, even you knew, if you had only known on this day what would bring your peace. Jesus is moved to compassion for the city. Jesus is moved to compassion because the people have not been able to recognize who He was and what His kingdom was all about. Jesus was moved to compassion because the people that He loved, He was not indifferent to the situations and the things that were about to happen to them. But the Bible says, if we read it in verse 44, that Jesus was moved to compassion because the people were not able to recognize the time of God's coming to them. So he mourns over the city. He weeps over the city. He knows that the road to the cross up from this time on could not be avoided. And his love and passion for you and I was so strong that made him fulfill God's purpose on his life. And the Bible says that he gave his life for you and I so that we could have life and that we could have it in abundance. That same Jesus that weeps, that wept over Jerusalem. I believe it in my heart that when Jesus sees our situations, the things that we go through, that when Jesus sees the situations of the world, that when he sees the things that are happening all over, I believe that Jesus is still moved to compassion. I believe that Jesus, and I dare to say that Jesus still weeps over our nations. That Jesus still weeps over our neighborhoods that are destroyed. That Jesus still weeps over the world. That's as Teresa was saying, he loves so much. I believe that Jesus mourns and is moved to compassion when he sees chemical attacks in Syria. I believe that Jesus weeps and mourns when he sees the division and the things that are happening all over the world. I believe that Jesus is moved to compassion as well when sometimes he sees the apathy, when he sees a lack of passion for those who are lost. And that's when the reality of the cross comes to life. That's when the reality of what Jesus did on the cross comes to life in our lives. That's when our faith is made stronger. That's when we can say, God, regardless of the things that are happening around the world, regardless of the things that are happening in my life, regardless of the things that are happening all over the world, Lord, I still believe in you. Lord, I still worship you. Lord, I still surrender my life. Lord, I still give you everything that I am. Lord, I still give you everything that I am, my family, everything that I am. I give to you, Lord, because I know that you are bigger than my plans, because I know that you have better plans than what I could have. I still believe that you are in control of everything. And today, we have to be willing to accept that God is still in the throne and that he is still in control of everything that is going on. In the midst of our people, in the congregation that I serve, most Hispanics, and when you hear the stories of the things that they go through, the discriminations. Yesterday, I was talking to a couple whose son has just been diagnosed with autism. And they were crying. And in the midst of everything that is going on, I had to tell them, God is good. Jesus is good. And in the midst of your problem and in the midst of your situation, God has a plan for you. Do you believe it? They were, I don't see how, I don't see why, but I believe it. My question to you today is, do you believe that God still has a plan for you? Do you believe that God is still in control? Do you believe that God can use even the worst circumstances in your life? Do you believe that His kingdom on this earth is better than what we expect to happen? The story of entering the entrance of Jesus to Jerusalem marks the beginning of His end. He knows what's about to happen. And once again, Jesus' passion makes Him to be faithful to the cross and to the suffering that was about to happen to Him, so that you and I can have life. But more than that, is that you and I can show that love and that passion to others. That we can be the light and the salt of the world. And we can share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And that we can bring hope to this world that is hopeless. That the hope of Jesus living in our lives, we can share it to others. And that we can bring that hope that people are needing these days. The climax of the entrance of Jesus to Jerusalem is not the people praising. The climax of the entrance of Jesus into Jerusalem is not the people crying out. The climax of the story of Jesus' entrance is when Jesus is moved to compassion and weeps over the city, weeps over the people. And that love and that compassion is still available for us today. He shares His love and His compassion for all of us, so that we can make a difference wherever we go. So that we can make a difference everywhere that we go. I just want to make a prayer today. Because maybe, just like me, maybe there's people here who are confused. Maybe are people here that have questions. And it's okay to have questions. It's okay to have questions about faith. It's okay to have questions about following Jesus. This past 3 years, we're going to be 3 years as a church in April. We're already in April. Next week. And it has been a journey of, anybody who's involved in ministry will tell you how hard it is. And it's been a journey of joy, but a journey of sorrow. It's been a journey of being happy, and it's been a journey of being sad. It's been a journey of praise and worship, but it's been a journey of lament and repent. It's been a journey of seeing people's lives being transformed, but it's also been a journey of seeing people leave for no reason. And many times, I have questioned Jesus. Many times I have questioned God. When the winter is here, I question Jesus. Are you sure, God, this is where you call me to be, in that Southern California where it's nice all the time? But Jesus is so graceful and so full of compassion that He embraces me with His love and tells me, my plans are better than your plans. My question to you today, are you willing to accept that His plans are better than your plans? And that we would be faithful just like He was faithful to the cross. That we would be faithful to the calling that He has upon our life. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, thank You for Your word. As we celebrate today, Lord, You entering the city of Jerusalem, and people were crying out, and they were saying Hosanna, and they were happy, and they were praising You, Lord, thinking that Your kingdom was going to be a different type of kingdom. Lord, we praise you today. We give you thanks for your love and your mercy. We give you thanks for everything that you're doing in our lives. Lord, and we recognize today, being honest with ourselves, that many times we have questions, Lord, that many times we have struggles in our lives, and we don't understand why things are happening. We don't understand why, Lord, you are working in the way that you are working. When we see things happening around the world, we question, Lord, but we want to see you today in a real way. Lord, just as you wept over the city of Jerusalem, Lord, we know that you are moved to compassion, that you're not indifferent to the things that are happening around the world. Lord, that in the midst of everything, you have a purpose. And Father, we ask that you help us have peace about it, that you help us, Lord, have peace about what you are doing in our lives, in our churches, Lord. And then when we go through difficult times, we may still see your grace and your love pour out to us. So this morning we give you thanks. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your passion. Thank you for your faithfulness to go to the cross and die for us. And thank you for your resurrection. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. And thank you for what you're doing in our lives today, Lord. We surrender completely to you. And we give you our lives. We offer you, Lord, our lives as a sacrifice to you. Use us. Use us, Lord, in a way that we can bring hope to this world that is hopeless. In a way that we can bring restoration to this world that needs so much restoration. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Rodrigo. As we get ready to have communion this morning, I invite you to hear these words from Jesus. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many.